My studio guest tonight is a former Everton player, now playing in League One at Oldham Athletic. Born in Southport, he came through the ranks at Goodison, making his debut in 2001 against Coventry City. He represented England at every level to the under-21s during his time at Everton. He went on loan to Port Vale, Coventry and Blackpool before joining Blackpool permanently. He then went to Southend, where he scored a memorable FA Cup goal against Chelsea, before moving to Huddersfield, where he won promotion to the Championship through the playoffs. He then rejoined Blackpool before a move to Bury, and last year signed for Oldham in League One. He's Peter Clark, and he's in the studio with me. How are you doing, Peter?
I'm good, thanks. Yourself?
Yeah, not bad at all. Thanks very much for coming in. Let's go back to the beginning, rewind back to your Everton days, because you joined Everton at the age of 16. Can you still remember the kind of feeling that you got on signing for such a big club?
Yeah, it was fantastic. I'd been... Well, in those days it was a centre of excellence, but I'd been involved with the centre of excellence from being about 10 or 11. Then it progressed a little bit further, I got a little bit older, and then, as you say, when I turned 16, or when I left school at 16, I signed as a YTS, and then I was in at the club full time, which was brilliant, around top players, top professionals, and you know, I wanted to learn from them and become better and see what they did and pick the bones from it, really.
And being a Southport lad as well, you know, it's not far away from Everton. I think that does make it... You perhaps feel the impact of this, you know, joining the club a little bit more, don't you, as well?
Yeah, without a doubt. You know, I think any kid growing up on Merseyside in the surrounding areas of Liverpool, they always look at the two big clubs in the city and probably support one or the other and have aspirations to go on and play for one of the two teams. For me to be involved at the club and to go on and make first team appearances was fantastic and something I'm quietly proud of.
Yeah, red or blue growing up?
I was a red growing up.
So many were, weren't they?
Yeah.
Does that ever cross your mind when you're getting a chance thinking, oh, I was red and now I'm joining Everton?
Well, you know what? No, I was given an opportunity, like I say, at 10 or 11 to go to the Centre of Excellence at Everton and couldn't wait to go. Remember my mum telling my grandparents and they were Reds. Well, you're not going to go was the answer. but no, I didn't have a second thought. I wanted to go and train. And there were times through the course of my time at Everton that the other side of the park came calling, but my parents had taught me to, you know, to be honest, to be loyal. Everton had given me the opportunity, so that's what I did. I stuck where I was.
And it was quite a rapid progression, really, at Everton for you, wasn't it? Because, you know, just looking through, you were in Everton's Youth Cup team that went all the way to the semi-finals. That was 1999. You played for the under-17s, under-19s and reserves, all in your first proper season. So at that point, being such a young age, is it difficult to take it all in?
I don't know. Looking back, it kind of, without being overconfident or arrogant, it just seemed like a natural progression. And I was lucky that, you know, I was playing relatively well and made the progression from 17s, 19s, and then into the reserves, and then playing, you know, football in the reserve team. The games were on Goodison in those days still, and playing with some, you know, bigger names and learning from those sorts of players were fantastic moments for a lad who, you know, wasn't a year out of school and was relatively new and young in terms of any football experience.
Yeah, I do you sometimes feel for the young players nowadays when they're not playing the home games in the youth teams at, you know, either Goodison or Anfield? You know, for example, Liverpool play a lot of the games at Tranmere, which is great, but are you missing out on, you know, that buzz of stepping out at the big ground, really?
In a way, you know, they're playing in a stadium, they're getting used to that, but when young players are coming into the first team environment and there's a possibility of them making their debut, going from without any disrespect at all, to a Southport, a Tranmere, a Widnes, you know, Halton Stadium there, it's a completely different ball game stepping out at Anfield or Goodison or some of the fantastic stadiums in the Premier League now. And for me, I think it was brilliant having reserve team fixtures on the match pitch Goodison at Anfield. And it's part of a learning curve, I believe, for young players, and hopefully they could benefit from that and not be in awe of it if and when a first team debut arrives.
Yeah, it's kind of part of your football education, I guess, really.
Yeah, definitely.
You were promoted to the first team in the 99-2000 season, but you didn't make an appearance till the following season. So you're kind of there, but you can almost touch it, but it's not quite. Was that frustrating for you?
Yeah, I suppose it was in a way, really. Like you say, I've been on the bench on a few occasions before I actually made my debut, and you think maybe it'll be today, hopefully it'll be today, and you don't get on and you come away from the ground, whichever game it was, a little bit disappointed, but at the same time still remembering that, you know, I'm on the bench, I'm getting closer, and still hopeful that first appearance will come.
And then the debut did come. It was a 3-1 away win at Coventry in 2001. You came on for, I think, after half an hour for Alec Cleland.
Yeah, that's right.
Do you remember that very clearly?
Yeah, clear as day. It was fantastic. Obviously, at the time, there were quite a few injuries, and we travelled down the night before. I knew he was going to be on the bench or possibly starting. He named the team, Walter Smith at the time, named the team, and I wasn't starting, but Alec had been out for a period of time with an injury and come back. And out to warm up every so often, make sure you don't stiffen up sitting on the bench for too long. And I look back towards the bench, obviously assessing the play, and I can see Jimmy Martin step out from the bench, waving his arms frantically, and I'm thinking, well, is this me? Maybe it's me. And realised then it was, and I don't think I've ever moved so fast. I was back down that touchline in no time at all, and Walter and Archie said, you're coming on, you're going to go on at right back for Alec. Just go and do what you do, enjoy it. And that was it, as they say.
Yeah, I mean, Walter and Archie were a formidable sort of duo, really, weren't they? I mean, you certainly wouldn't mess with Walter Smith or indeed Archie Knox. What were they like for a young player coming through?
They obviously were the first team manager assistant sort of combination I'd come across. So there was, from my point of view, and I think from young players' points of view, and even senior pros, I think there was a little bit of a fear factor, and I think that's the way it probably should be. Even now, really. Walter was probably good cop. Archie was certainly the bad cop. But they were good guys, approachable. And, you know, if you were to give your all and give them everything you got, I think they would take that. Well, I know they would take that. And they would ask for that as the bare minimum. And if you gave them any more, then they were well pleased.
Yeah, because some managers have a reputation. I mean, you know, Sir Alex Ferguson, I suppose, will be one of, but he seemed to be so good on youth development, despite that reputation. Would Walter be a manager who would put an arm round you if you needed it, and, you know, if things weren't going well?
Yeah, I think out of the two of them, Walter was probably more of the type that would put an arm round and give players a little bit of a love and a little bit of comfort and perhaps boost their ego, whereas Archie would probably tell them very bluntly how it was and, and what they needed to do to do better.
Yeah.
But the two of them, I think, they probably worked in a tough time at Everton, but the two of them were, I've got the utmost respect for and enjoyed working with them.
And then after that debut, then you didn't feature again, did you? So I mean, you get your debut, you think, right, this is going to be the start of something, and it didn't happen. Why do you think?
I don't know. I think obviously there was plenty going on at the club behind the scenes, and there was tough times there. I think possibly one or two more senior players were coming back from injury who were obviously higher in the pecking order than I was. So it was just perhaps the natural progression that they would come back in and I would drop further down the pecking order. I still appeared on the bench on numerous occasions and travelled with the first team squad, but as you say, the appearances didn't carry on as you perhaps hoped for.
But you were saying there about things going on behind the scenes. Is it difficult not to let that affect you as a player if there is unrest in general, really?
From a personal point of view, it doesn't bother me too much. It didn't bother me too much. You're aware of it, but as a kid back then, and even now, I just want to go out and play. I enjoy being out there on a Saturday afternoon or a Tuesday evening or whenever the games are. And that's where I felt at home as such.
So you said there was the gap. You then played, I think, it was your next appearance as a sub at Tottenham.
It was, yeah.
And, you know, the lack of chances then, I would imagine you've got to be careful when you do get a chance again. You're not over keen. And we were talking to Clint Hill last night, and one thing Clint Hill said was, I was too pumped up almost. Is that a danger when you're at professional football and you don't get many chances?
Well, funnily enough, me and Clint were a couple of years apart, but we went to the same school. But you want the opportunity and you kind of do build yourself up a little bit. Probably because there'd been a period of time between my debut and my next appearance down at Tottenham, I perhaps let go of some of the frustration of not having appeared regularly and came on that day. I remember going on pretty relaxed and looking forward to getting out there. I think I played half an hour, 40 minutes of the second half on the left side of a three-man defence. And I think something that I picked up at that sort of age, that you probably play better when you're in a more relaxed frame of mind and a state of being, rather than being too pumped up, maybe like a Vinnie Jones or
Clint Hill.
Well, no, Clint's a top man.
He is.
He's had a wonderful career.
He even admitted though that it was almost a sort of the red mist sometimes descending, you know, down or whatever.
You know, I've played against Clint and he's certainly a tough competitor, and that's what makes him part of who he is, and he's had such a great career, so it works different ways for different individuals, I suppose.
I mean, anyone who's played sport at any level, you know, never mind the level that you've played at professionally, it is easier said than done, isn't it? It's all right saying, you know, I play better when I'm relaxed. Most people would say, yeah, but you can't tell yourself to relax, because that is, by the very nature of it, actually working yourself up, isn't it, really?
Yeah, I suppose it is. And, you know, you can perhaps go out in a relaxed state of mind and ready to enjoy the game. But things happen in the game, and as you say, the red mist does descend, and that's happened on more than one occasion to myself. And sometimes you live to regret it.
Well, talking of being relaxed, you started the Merseyside Derby at Anfield, didn't you? Which is probably a game that's very difficult to be relaxed for. That was a 1-1 draw. Thomas Radzinski opened the scoring, and then I think Anelka equalised for Liverpool. What was that whole experience like playing at Anfield?
Unbelievable. You know, as I say, kid growing up, loving football, watching derby games, watching any sort of game was brilliant, but watching derby games and the atmosphere of them was different. It was electric. It was amazing. So to be involved was extraordinary. It was fantastic. And we actually stayed over in Kirby on the Friday night before the game. I think Walter and Archie just wanted to get the players away, a bit of quiet, away from everything, because there's a certain amount of build-up to a derby match that's different to other games. It starts as soon as the previous fixture's finished.
Yeah, definitely.
And the anticipation, you know, it builds. So we'd stayed in Kirby, got a good night's sleep, woke up the following day. One or two of the more senior players who were injured or unavailable passed, you know, popped in the room and wished me all the best. And then it was a case of having your pre-match and down for a meeting. We were all suited and booted, and having been playing, you know, I was hopeful I'd keep my place. And I remember being in my suit, went to take my suit jacket off, and I got this blue shirt on, club issue, and as soon as I pulled the sleeves down on the jacket, I pulled them straight back up. I got some big sweat patches, and, you know, obviously anxious for the naming of the team, and desperate to be playing. So I left my jacket on, and then Archie and Walter walked in. They named the team, and obviously to be playing was fantastic. So straight on the phone, text my parents, my mum and dad, and let them know that I was playing, and they were excited, wished me all the best. And then the coach journey to the ground, it was seemed to take an age. Obviously, it wasn't that long, but it seemed to take an age, and you turn up at the ground and couldn't wait to get going. Couldn't wait to start.
How far in advance did you know the team then? Would it be a couple of hours?
Yeah, probably we'd have got to the ground for about 1:30, so maybe quarter to one, 1 o'clock, something like that. So a couple of hours prior to the kickoff.
It's a long time to wait. I mean, I understand why managers don't do it. I mean, because teams get leaked all the time now. But yeah. As a player, would you rather know you're playing the night before than 2 hours before kickoff, for example?
Yeah. You know, now I would rather know the team on the Friday and know what you're doing, who you're playing with. You tend to do a bit of work on what you're going to do the following day. So more often than not, teams are now named on the day prior to the match. So if I'd had my own way, but at 19-20, I don't think you'd have that option.
No, not really. And David Moyes came in, of course, after Walter left.
Yeah.
Dave, what do you think of David Moyes? What was it like playing for him?
Well, I didn't obviously play too much for him. I think he was a good coach. You know, aware of what he wanted to do and how he wanted to organise his team and the way he wanted the team to play. Don't think he was a very good man manager. And, you know, that's my opinion. He's gone on to have a successful time or an extended period of time at Everton and perhaps stabilise the club after a difficult period, you know, behind the scenes financially and in terms of having to sell players to survive. So, you know, all credit to him in terms of that. But, you know, different managers have different ways. And, you know, like I say, I think he was a good coach and quite aware tactically. But in terms of his man management of players, from senior players to young players, I think it was something maybe that he might have worked on, or hopefully, you know, he may have bettered himself in terms of that.
But it's funny, isn't it? Because since Everton, which was, you know, as you say, no matter what you think, I think most people would say he did a good job at Everton. It's never really happened for him. And you wonder whether being taken out of that environment, the management perhaps was more of an issue when he went to other clubs, possibly. Because he's never settled anywhere else, has he? You know,
possibly. Maybe. It's a possibility that that's the case. And, you know, sometimes players fit with clubs and maybe the same can be said of David Moyes and Everton. They were a good fit together, and for whatever reason, as you say, it's not perhaps worked out for him as he's moved on to various other jobs. And you know, now he's in a situation where hopefully he'll be able to get himself back in. I'm sure that's what he's after.
Did you get an inkling that things were coming to an end at Everton? Then did you have a feeling this isn't going to happen?
Yeah, you know. As a player, as a person, you get a feeling. You're aware of how people work. And yeah, I was aware. I was actually told probably 18 months before I actually left the club that I wasn't going to be part of the plans moving forward. You know, that's the manager's opinion and prerogative, which is fine. But it was, you know, not what I was hoping for. I was hoping to stay at Everton and forge a long and successful career, but that wasn't necessarily the case.
So you moved on, didn't you? Three loan spells.
Yeah.
And so Blackpool, Port Vale and Coventry. So when you get sent on loan, it's almost like being sent to the naughty step, isn't it? But, you know, in a way. How does it make you feel? Because it's hard, I would imagine, to integrate into a new squad when you know you might not be there that long.
Yeah, well, I mean, my first loan spell off to Blackpool were the previous close season. I'd spent the Toulon tournament with an England under 21 side. We'd had a good tournament. We finished fourth, and that was only due to the fact that we lost on penalties in the third and fourth place playoff. We played five games, we didn't concede a goal, so I went back for pre-season, you know, looking forward to it, hopeful of an opportunity. And then, as you say, you're summoned to the manager's office and told that there's a loan opportunity and told you're not going to play. So at that age, I wanted to be out, I wanted to be playing. And if it wasn't going to be at Everton, then, you know, I had to look elsewhere. So that was the first loan spell, and off I went to the seaside.
And you know, you've gone on to have a great career in the game when you look at all the clubs you've played for. As I said, you went to Southend and scored that memorable goal against FA Cup against Chelsea. Tell us a bit about that.
Yeah, you know, it was great. We got through the second round at the second time of asking. We played Telford away in the first round, in the second round, drew 0-0, went back to Southend and beat them quite convincingly, which was good. And then the draws obviously made, and you realise you're away to Chelsea at Stamford Bridge, which is fantastic. You want to play on the big stage and test yourself against the top players. So couldn't wait for it to come around. The game actually fell on my birthday. So we went down on the morning from Southend to London, had some food in the Chelsea hotel, and then walked round and into the ground and got ourselves ready, out and warmed up, and then obviously kicked off and didn't see too much of the ball. Obviously, Chelsea had the majority of the play, but we gave a good account of ourselves that day.
And you've been captain of so many different teams, haven't you? You're certainly at youth level, under-16s to under-19s for England, and you were captain in your first season with Everton reserves. Did you always sort of think I could be a leader of men, really?
I don't know. It was never, at a young age, something I thought, yeah, that's what I'm going to be. That's the way I am. You know, I think the people I was around growing up playing my youth football, then obviously when I started at Everton and I was around, you know, big characters, they demand from you, and yeah, then demand of yourself, and as you grow a little older, you demand of others around you, and maybe that was the case, and people perhaps saw that, you know, I was vocal on the pitch and, you know, organised players around me and so on and so forth, and maybe saw it as a characteristic that was, you know, perhaps one of a leader or a type of captain material. So yeah, along the way I've captained quite a few sides that I've been involved with or played for.
And there's different types of captains as well, isn't there? There is proper barkers, like, you know, really shouting. Jamie Carragher, I would say, is probably a bit of a ranter and a raver, whereas Steven Gerrard was a lot more leading by example. Which camp would you fall into?
I think I probably fall somewhere in the middle, to
be honest.
Best
place
to
be.
Well, maybe so. Maybe so. I mean, you know, the two guys you've just mentioned are phenomenal players and characters, and we're leader of men. But you know, I'm quite vocal on the pitch, so I can have a rant and a rave now and again, but dare I say it, players now are more fragile than they used to be, and perhaps need a little bit more love than once upon a time. And you know, I'm aware of what my job is on the pitch and what's needed and what's necessary, so I go about that. And as I say, I'm probably somewhere in between a ranter and a raver and a lead by example.
And you're back in pre-season training now at Oldham. I don't envy you on that score. How's it going?
It's going okay. It's as times passed, I've never been at the front of the running. I'm not a pre-season runner by any stretch of the imagination. I've learnt that, you know, to get through every session and get through pre-season injury free is probably the best way to go about it, and it's a vital part of the season. And if you get through it unscathed, you're generally in good condition for the season ahead, the campaign ahead.
And I suppose if you were injured in pre-season, that's really difficult, isn't it? Because it's like a kid missing a week at school. You're constantly playing catch up, aren't you?
Yeah. If you miss time out in pre-season, some of the stats will come back and say that
if you miss a week of pre-season, you may miss 2 or 3 weeks of the season with various things. So there perhaps is a correlation between missing time in pre-season and missing time in the campaign as well. So, as I say, my mantle's been getting through unscathed and in the best nick possible. And hopefully then that sets you up for the rest of the season ahead.
Has pre-season changed much since you started as a young pro compared to what it's now? I mean, in terms of sort of the methods and what they put you through.
Yeah, there's been a big swing in the way it's changed. And going back when I was 16, 17 and, you know, involved as a young pro with the first team at Everton, it was a lot of running, a lot of physical work. You'd run as fast as you can, as long as you can, you know, regularly in the first couple of days of pre-season, we'd be around Crocky Park as fast as we could go. And that was never nice. You'd get back to the gates by the Sefton, and your chest would be burning, your legs would be burning, and you'd just want to curl up in a ball.
Yeah.
Now there's a more scientific approach to it, and the sports scientists want so much in each area of, you know, as near to your heart rate, maximum heart rate as they can possibly get, then some in a middle area and some on a lower intensity. And if they get that, they generally go away happy. But sessions don't seem to be quite as tough as they used to be.
You're old school, aren't you? I can tell. There's a bit of the old school mentality. You're going to say next kids don't know they're born today, aren't you?
Well, without a doubt, no, they don't. No, I suppose, you know, my footballing education was in a different area to the one now.
Well, it was under Walter Smith and Archie Knox, wasn't it, for a start? So.
Yeah, so it was different. But, you know, going back, I think that set me up well for the career I've had since then.
And what's life like at Oldham? Because Oldham, I mean, obviously they're in the shadow of United and City so much, but, I mean, it wasn't that long ago. Oldham were getting to cup finals, cup semi-finals. They were in the Premier League, we shouldn't, you know, forget. So,
yeah,
sleeping giants, perhaps an overused phrase, isn't it? But there's definitely something in that for Oldham.
Yeah, well, I mean, I think so. I think there's definitely now an air of optimism around Boundary Park this season. We the manager has come in. He came in January, steadied the ship, made one or two signings. We've made three or four this window, and as I say, there's a real air of optimism and a hope amongst the town and fans and people involved at the club that we can have a quietly successful season.
Yeah, John Sheridan, of course, is the manager now, who is very experienced. You know, immediately, I suppose, he commands respect for all he's done in the game, really.
Yeah, of course. You know, he had a fantastic career. A couple of us were talking today. He went to 2 World Cups as a player for the Republic of Ireland. So he's had an excellent career, and if you can't learn from people like that, then you're perhaps in the wrong profession.
And in terms of the ambition at Oldham, is it to be a Premier League club again one day? I mean, I know it's a way off, but you've got to aim high, I suppose.
Yeah, you've got to aim high, and have hopes and dreams, and yeah, it probably is. You know, you've seen various clubs rise from the fourth tier through the divisions and go on and play in the Premier League. So why can't Oldham? It won't happen overnight, but, you know, as we say, you've got to dream big and have big aspirations.
And what about you personally? How long do you see yourself playing for?
I want to play for as long as I can. As a kid growing up, I wanted to be I wanted to play football. I wanted to be a professional footballer. Although I'm no longer 21, that's no different. It's still the same. I love being out there on a Saturday. So I have a couple of years left on my contract there. But if, you know, I can get another couple of years or so after that playing, then that's fantastic.